Super Crosstalk time. It is United, Beto, Momo, the big CY. It's obviously the time of year, August, before football season, where people try to get their vacations in.
So or are you bringing the good heavy hitters?
You're one to talk,
No, no, I'm getting my vacation in. That's what I'm saying.
I got it. Yeah. No, this is fun. This is a good time of year. We did a little sort of a presto changeo with yesterday.
What was that?
It was you two in here, and now it's us two. Or it was us two, then now it's us two and you two.
Yeah. What do you think?
Swap, if you will.
Do you think Beto and I have chemistry?
I listened to a little bit, yeah.
Thank you, Mom.
I listened to a little bit. Yeah. I think so. I think Beto was trying to be antagonistic because that's what he does.
That is what he does.
As opposed to being thoughtful like when he's with me. But that's just me bragging. So.
Really? So you're saying you bring out the best in Beto?
Yes, we do.
There's a different thing that
you think
happens
that's true?
When
Absolutely.
The black and brown comes together.
Really?
I do think there's a different flavor pattern there, if you will.
Yeah. I was good for a good hour and a half.
And then it just went out of the window. Then you started telling people that all your clothes are free. But no, I get it. Yeah, you guys were good.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
I'm a big fan of Steve Mason.
By the way, I should mention this. You know, we lied to you guys for a long time.
What's
because
that?
Beto and I technically never had a feud.
Yeah, well, that's obvious, you know.
It was a fake feud.
When you were named the manager of our co-ed softball team, of our softball team.
Softball team, yeah.
Beto sent me a text saying, we need to get Mason.
Because I didn't want to lose.
Guess what?
We won despite you.
I general managed my way to the win.
You pressed the buttons.
Yeah. No, that's why you guys are like, well, who's doing this? It was me. Genie I texted Buster. You. I texted Greg. I texted everybody.
And I did make a joke that we can't say on air.
Genie Buster. Yeah.
I deleted it quick.
Did you watch last night?
I watched Better Call Saul. I did not watch Legacy show.
Jack McKinney looks like the guy in Better Call Saul. Things
he does.
I learned yesterday.
He does look like him.
Oh, my God. I
you
didn't
know,
watch
Jack
Better Call
McKinney
Saul.
Also looks like Fred Claire.
Okay.
The former Dodger GM.
Well, Steven John.
That's Fred
Claire, yeah.
Have you been on the air long enough that you also have a Fred Claire?
Oh, yeah. We used to interview Fred all the time.
Look at that. Wow. You have a Fred Claire.
1988.
Ramona, as we look at this team, we see it's very nasally.
Do people know who Fred Claire is?
He's an old general manager for the Dodgers.
88 Dodgers. Yeah, he built it. He was a sports writer.
Right.
Daily Breeze.
Yeah. Great guy. I don't know if he's alive or not, but he's a great guy.
Jack Murphy style. Yeah.
So what did you think of Legacy?
I thought, okay, so here's a lot of people in the community had a lot to say about it because they watched it, and a lot of these Laker fans are so protective of anything. But what I've realized now between Winning Time, between Magic Stock, and between Laker Legacy, these are just three very different products. They're not even remotely related in terms of like the continuity of what the experience is for a Laker fan at all. Winning Time to me is something for probably people who aren't Lakers fans.
Yeah, it's mass entertainment.
It's mass entertainment. To me, Magic's documentary, honestly, felt like it was for black folks a lot more than he did one of these two things. When I watched that thing, I was like, this feels like looking at my parents when they were young through a family photo album. That's the vibe that the Magic doc presents. Laker Legacy, bro, that's a freshman class on Lakers history, and it takes a while. And you're like, okay, we're going through every single
home
thing.
Home movies of the bus
kids. There's a lot of content that is presented in a way that is not very flashy, but it's very, you know, thorough storytelling thing that I don't necessarily know a lot of people are going to
love. Is there anything we don't? Like, you watched how many episodes?
I watched the first two that were released.
First two.
I've only
watched one because I didn't have time left.
Tell me something I don't know from that documentary.
That's the question I can't answer because I don't know that I learned anything outside of seeing people in images that I had not seen them
in
before.
There was some stuff about the divorce of Jerry Buss and his wife that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Relevant, though?
If you're talking about the history of the Buss family and how they are who they are.
So it's more about the Buss family.
I feel like
they're setting that up as a
central
theme.
First episode is very much about the Buss family. Then it gets in more to the team.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I learned the most, the thing that surprised me the most was that, I don't want to say the casualness with which they talked about Dr. Buss's sort of relationships with everybody, but I was like, yo, like, this isn't very funny. I was kind of surprised by how they were very honest, but in a way that was kind of... It was a little awkward to watch all those people talk about the relationships he had with women and how he treated various people.
Oh, okay.
Like it's real enough that you're like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, I knew that. I didn't necessarily expect
to talk
about it. But
it's also like this is
like
the
that.
home, the in-house one.
Yeah.
Right? Like this is the one that was produced by the Lakers.
It says in association with the Los Angeles Lakers, right?
Right. It's like all the footage, all the interviews are done through them.
Yeah.
Is it for Lakers fans or is it for Is it mass entertainment?
I think it's for basketball fans that like the Lakers. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? And I don't necessarily mean diehard Lakers fans. I just mean there's a lot of basketball history. And you get to see what it does provide from a sort of artistic standpoint is it gives you the best archival footage that you've probably ever seen of the era. And that was the draw for me, like seeing literally like old ABC Newsnight graphics, sort of corny stuff like that.
I like that stuff.
I like that stuff, too. That's like why I brought it up.
You literally see Bill Sharman doing the coin flip that gets the magic.
Yes.
Game.
Wow. Exactly. Oh, that's so you cool. get a lot of that footage, and you get a lot of, you know, visuals of them at practice that are, you know, real actual stuff. You know, the jumpsuits from the 80s.
Yeah, right.
That, to me, is the cool part. I don't necessarily know that I learned a ton.
Yep.
But looking at it was enough of a visual experience that I kept it on.
Yeah, the way you explained it, it's a freshman class for Lakers.
Yes, basically. And it's a long one. Yeah.
Lakers 101.
Yeah, Lakers 101, pretty much. Yeah,
it's But it's also there's a difference between the documentary and scripted.
Yes.
Okay, so documentary, it's like they show everything and you have to have interviews with people to do it. Whereas like in scripted, you can get
If I told you?
You know all about these.
Yeah.
You can get at a lot of things like with just the way a character is dressed or the place where they go, where you don't have to have somebody saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
A lot of Rob Lowe, too, by the way.
Rob Lowe.
A lot of Rob Lowe. A lot of Jamal Wilkes.
Yeah, a lot of Jamal.
Rob Lowe?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be Jack Nicholson?
No.
Well, I mean, Jack is not really in a
position. I think Dodgers. Rob Lowe's all.
I think the guy with the MLB hat.
He's in the NFL hat.
When Rob Lowe was a young hotshot, he was one of the guys that was really big at the Forum.
There's like the Rat Pack.
There's a somewhat famous story of him leaving a movie set and going on a seaplane clandestinely to get to Boston, leaving a shoot he was doing. They ended up showing him on TV, and he got in trouble with the studio.
That's what I'm gonna watch.
Hey, man. That's what happens.
I'm in for it tonight.
It's not bad.
You're
going to the LAFC game. You're not watching it tonight.
Oh, crap.
You're going to be done at halftime.
It's not something. Yeah, you'll be out.
I am leaving at halftime. Yeah.
No, you're staying in the suite all game.
Nah,
DC United, Wayne Rooney, you are not going anywhere.
Already established I'm leaving at halftime.
By the way.
Anything beyond halftime is a bonus for him.
Yeah, it is.
But we have open bar.
I know.
That's and exactly
I,
why on your tab.
I don't drink.
That's why he's leaving at half.
I don't drink. Did you hear our Clearman's Galley
your
remote?
Tab. You have
there.
To sign out.
Oh, you were there for that. Oh, God.
I didn't realize we were talking about that, but yes, that was.
Yeah, no, I haven't had a drink since.
That was quite the day. Very well.
It was very awful. Very awful. All right, so we had this conversation earlier, and these guys all made fun of me. So I'm going to ask you guys and think about it. You know, be thoughtful.
Yeah.
You guys are thoughtful.
Okay.
So in other countries, when you leave a tip, you look at the bill, there's a total, and then there's a line to leave a tip.
Right.
You don't have to do the math.
I don't do the math.
You don't do the math?
I leave a flat number. I do the math in my head.
Can you do that? You don't have to write the total?
If the bill is $73, I'll just write $100 or whatever, and I'll just sign it. Yeah.
You're tipping $100 for $73?
I mean, if...
$20 tip.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Oh, I see, $100.
Yeah, if the bill is $73, the total
is $100. Don't even do the math?
I don't do the math.
Oh, that's what I'm going to start doing.
I've decided this is what I'm spending on it.
I always do the math.
I don't do the math.
Yeah, I'm going to skip the math from now on.
Okay.
Yeah, math is hard for me.
Because, I mean, the math, to me, you're getting into... And I don't want to say infinitesimal, and I'm not acting like I got it like that, but if it's somewhere between $5 and $6 of a difference, and it's like, all right, well, I can just round it off, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's what I do.
No, Mace just doesn't want to write the second line. He doesn't want to put five under the 25.
You do the math, like 26,
oh, yeah, then just skip
34.
That part and just write what you want.
And then you're like, oh, shoot,
I got that wrong.
But then he's going to end up tipping too much.
No, that's why I write the total.
Yeah.
Because I just...
So I'm totally reasonable in this complaint.
Yeah, I would say so. But you're doing the wrong... You're leaving out the wrong step. You know, they can do the math because the reason why you put the total, and this is what I learned from being a server, is that that's all they do anyway. They're not adding the math. You just say, this is the bill, and then when you go close it out, you put in the total, and the computer does the math for you.
Oh, God.
That's why you put the total. Yeah, because nobody's counting that anyway in the system. Yeah, these are things you learn when you're out there doing real jobs in America, Greg.
Also, it's better to leave a tip in cash than it is
on
a credit card.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Because they have to declare it if it's on credit card.
Momo, did you ever have a regular job? I didn't.
I
almost said a real job, but a regular job.
I was a camp counselor.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Camp 17.
That's fun. That's fun.
I was at Balboa Sports Camp, and I was like a camp counselor for a bunch of little kids running around.
I did that job too.
Yeah. That was fun.
I've done a lot of jobs. Yeah,
that's cool. What's the worst?
I was a bank teller. I worked at a CVS for a week and
then
walked out when I was like 18.
You walked out.
I was very
CVS. You didn't like the receipt?
No, bro. The thing was is that like I worked at one like in my neighborhood. So like I would see people and it's like, yo,
they're
bro,
not paying.
I can forget that. I don't want to know what you buy at CVS. Do you understand the kind of goods that people are copping at CVS?
Especially late at night?
All sorts of things and all sorts of body parts, all sorts of things that I don't want to think about you using.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? Oh yeah, it was unbearable.
My worst job was telephone solicitor.
I kind of did that.
What were you trying to get?
Aluminum siding.
Aluminum siding.
Good evening, Mr. Johnson. That's Steve from the Key Corporation. Can I ask you what type of material you have on the outside of the home?
Wow.
Okay. So
you worked at radio since 15. Why did you have to do this job?
I had real jobs.
Why?
Because
you wasn't paying that much.
Working for a little AM station in Toledo, Ohio is like live on that money. You got to go do telephone solicitor work.
And it helps your voice and your presentation.
Oh, it does.
Probably like, it's like playing in
the
minor leagues.
Key Corporation. What type of material do you have on the outside of the home? Yeah, I was.
Yeah,
really?
I was. Yeah.
Wow.
I could talk people into anything.
Like you're doing a show?
Like I'm doing a radio show. Exactly. Hey, we talked about this. Have you heard, you know the jingle that we use at the beginning of the show?
Sure.
The ESPN 710 Los Angeles yes. Sports.
Yeah.
So I want to, as a surprise for John Ireland, replace it with something new.
Ooh. While he's gone?
While he's gone. So he hears it when he gets back on Monday. So if you're a... somebody that can sing or do a jingle. You don't have to actually be good to do it. Something catchy, something original that we can use in our opens. DM me at Venice Mace. My DMs are open. DM me the little MP3 file. We'll use it on the air. We'll try it out. And whoever has the best one and becomes the jingle that's going to stick, we will give you, you've heard about our chains. We're going to give you a Mason and Ireland chain if you're the person that comes up with the new jingle.
I feel like we got to up the prize.
Give away his Rams tickets.
What else?
Your Rams tickets.
Maybe like Rams tickets are a lot. But
how about
I'd say,
a Mason and Ireland t-shirt?
I'd say a gift card.
Gift card.
Something that they don't you guys have gift cards lying around all over the place?
Oh they're everywhere.
Something
you want one?
Courtesy of Clinton Yates.
I'm knee deep in gift cards.
I just mean like a $20 chain.
$4 at Starbucks because they messed up my order and they were like, here, this is good for $4 at any Starbucks.
That's good. That's
I just
good.
Feel like something a little, with a little bit more pop. Or maybe, I don't know.
If it's going to get used every day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's one of those, like.
Okay, all right, here's
what I'm gonna do. No. The chain is perfect enough all by itself.
Nope.
Absolutely.
Yes,
it is. Absolutely. This is a great prize.
Listen to what I'm saying. As the quality of the prize goes up, the quality of the jingle increases too. This is the reason why you up the ante on this. If you give guys no kind of money, you're not going to get good players.
Okay.
This is why I'm talking about
chain plus $100 cash.
Wow. Okay.
A Benjamin. That'll get a lot of people.
Yeah. Greg, we need $100.
Yeah. Get that from your budget, will you?
I don't have one of those.
Make that mythical
That budget is called the Venice Mace budget.
Put on your expense report.
I don't got any of those either.
So $100 cash. And a Mason and Ireland
there
chain.
There you go.
If you come up with the jingle that we wind up using on the show, DM me that at Venice Mace.
Hey,
that's
like
a prize.
That's a prize.
That's a real prize.
There you go.
You know
it cost me money. Cost me
I mean, you know, at least you get to make a friend.
Right
off. If you hear cash given away here, it means one of us.
Hey, can I get $20?
How are you going to How are you going to do this? Are you going to Venmo somebody or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Way easier.
That's perfect. Very easy.
Way easier.
Very easy. All right, so we're all off to the LAFC game tonight.
Let's go.
Are we
going
to get a check-in when you guys get close?
Sure.
That would not be
bad.
We'll
check in. Beto's gone. Jorge's gone. Bergman. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Laura. Travis. Lewa. Taylor.
The whole station's going?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's why I did 1-4 so I can go to the game.
I'm sure you can come
Screw
along.
Screw y'all, man.
I'm sure you can come along.
I definitely cannot. I have two children.
Okay, Ramona, just
fed.
By the way, we're in Jacob and Ronnie's box. It's fully stocked.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to front. I went to an LAFC game in a box earlier this year,
That's
too.
Cool.
After talking about it on this station, somebody invited me. So I've gotten my freebie for the year.
There
I'm not complaining.
So you want to go?
Look, he's even wearing a Pele hoodie.
I am wearing
There's
a
another
soccer.
Ticket.
Who's wearing?
There's another ticket?
We can find one. Mason, buy him a ticket.
Let me once we get the check in, I'll determine if I can make it.
I'll Venmo LAFC.
do not pencil me in for this. Y'all are gonna have a
We're gonna have a lot of fun.
It's gonna be fun tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. I have no idea. We're gonna spin the wheel of co-hosts. I have no idea who's gonna come up, and also Michael Thompson's gonna hang out tomorrow.
Hey.
So that's tomorrow's show. Coming up now, the Shadano and Cappy show with Momo and the Big CY. I hope you'd see you tonight at the LAFC game. We're back tomorrow, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're gonna sing it?
No, that's you.
Bah, bah, bah. Dee, da, da, dee. I didn't get advice in the soccer game. Bah,
like
bah,
da,
bum. I'm upset
like it.
About it. Bah, bah, da, bum. I might go still. Beep, bah, da, beep. Bah, da, bah, 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 bah. Anyway.
That's better than Cap does.
Listen, come on. President of the local chapter of the Hanson Man community, I've got some side skills that are transferable in ways that people don't know. The vocal tones are there.
That's Clinton Yates. I'm Ramona Shelburne. We're here with you all day. 4 to 7?
4 to 7.
4 to 7?
We're here.
I like that. By the time we drive home, there won't be any traffic.
That's true.
That's how it goes.
Unless I'm headed to the stadium. I'm not forgetting this, by the way.
Why
you might
was
as well
I not
walk.
Invited either?
I don't think I was invited either because they know I won't go.
So they put together a little side plan, a rogue operation, if you will, Travis. I'm looking right at you because you are clearly the ringleader of this. No, I'm kidding. But
this sounds like a fun outing.
Yes.
But there's things that happen when you have children that you kind of you're just out of. Like, people don't even invite you anymore. They're like, you're not going to go out at night.
That's true. So speaking of which, what
I have happened? A young child that will need to be fed when I get home. I have another young child that will need to go to sleep when I get home. And it's just like, that's what it is. And so what you do on days, and this is a hard time for me right now.
Okay.
Because normally, in the mornings, I get up, I take my 3-year-old to preschool.
All right.
But right now, they've decided that there's a gap in between summer school and preschool, and there's a 3-week gap. So all the parents on the text chain, I'm in a text chain called Cool Moms of Room 5.
Of Room 5. How
For
many
real.
People are in
There's
room
at least like 15 people
They're
in
like,
the text chain.
I'm a cool mom. If you're going to drink, I'd rather do it here.
Is all you guys talk about?
We did not day drink at 10 a.m. with our talk. Okay.
Why not? That's a disappointing element. Tell us about this.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to step up. I'm not hosting until the afternoon show, so
right.
I have the morning. I just said, if anyone wants to come over and like come to my house, we have a pool, we've got a ball pit and a playhouse.
You
Let's
have a
do
ball
this.
Pit and a playhouse?
Yeah, I mean, it was like COVID, so we
Inflatable, too, in the backyard.
Oh, yeah, we have an inflatable. Wow. Yeah, we have a bounce house.
It's like every kid's dream.
Hold it's kind of like just, Camp
this,
Momo. It
this
is.
Just yeah. This just is freestanding? Like, this is part of the furniture in the backyard?
Part of the furniture.
Wow.
You have a tree
okay.
house, right?
Yeah, yeah, I built a playhouse for him with
yeah.
two slides
so cute.
And
wow.
a climbing wall and swings. Yeah.
Man.
It's Look, nice. We were all home for like a year and a half.
That's true. So you got something
We had
done.
To entertain our children for a long time. It was
okay.
a long time.
So how many people
So
showed up?
I sent this around. I thought there was going to be like 3 or 4 kids. Those are the ones who said, yes, we're definitely coming. And then yesterday, like 2 more trickled in. And then this morning, 3 people out of the blue were like, oh, so-and-so, the dad's going to bring him. And I was like, oh, how many do we have now? Like, this is going to be like 10 kids.
Wow.
It's like a full day at camp. And I was like, well, let's just see what happens. Like,
camp 710.
You respond. And I very nicely said, if you have older or younger children, you could bring them too, so that you don't have to have.
Right. You don't have to break up the home.
There were some moms with like some babies that showed up too. And I was like, man, there's like a lot of kids here. I just hosted a full on party this morning.
So hold on. I have so many more questions. What was the food and drink situation?
Okay.
Where were you located? Like, how do you even
so
wrangle
it's out, that? It's out in Chatsworth. Okay. That's
okay.
where I live. And
yeah.
I got a pool, I got a bounce house and a ball pit. I figured like this was enough. Then
right.
I decided we got to try to be COVID safe. So I'm going to do most of this outdoors.
Right.
So I moved a bunch of Daniel's toys outside and just like put it out there and said, go play. And you're responsible for your own kid. So you just follow your kid around and
okay.
stuff. And some parents are they're better at that than others. And others are like, does your kid know how to swim?
I was going to say, was there a lifeguard on duty?
Yeah,
because
no,
that
I
is
just
important.
Had water wings for everyone. I figured, like, if you got the water wings on, you'll be all right.
Okay.
If you fall under.
Does Daniel know how to swim?
Pretty good, actually. He was the one kid who didn't need water wings.
All right.
He's been taking lessons for a while.
And that's a home game for him, literally.
Yeah, home game. Yeah. And then I just did Instacart to Gelson's in the morning. And I just got a bunch of cookies and croissants. And the Honest Juice things, the little kid juice packs and some waters. I figure that's enough.
Right. So yeah. it was literally like camp. You didn't make anything special. You just bought boxes of stuff.
Yeah, I did put one thing in the oven. I took the croissants, the frozen croissants, and I put them in the oven.
So how did it go? Like,
I think really well. Like, there were people who were like, there were kids crying when they left.
Really?
Yeah, I actually
they wanted to leave.
That's adorable.
Yeah. Yeah, there was like one girl crying, and I was like, it's okay, you can come back.
Were there loot bags?
No.
Come back anytime.
But you know what? People got me gifts. People were like, thanks for hosting, and they brought me bottles of wine.
So this is where we're getting into the real nitty gritty. Yeah. How do the cool moms of Room 5 pay you back for this service?
Because they host the next one.
Are they doing
that?
That's
how it goes.
Are you sure somebody's going to step up?
I think I upped the ante. I think maybe I set the bar, and now I don't know if anyone can top that.
Because you know what might happen as well. The next time is they're going to band together with the group request that they go back to your house.
It's okay.
Because they all liked it so much.
So here's what happens. When you can't really go anywhere outside your house, you just make your house where everybody can come.
Right.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. And if you stepped up the first time and everybody liked it, I think you need to expect to do this again.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
I'm good with that. I'm like the hostess.
All right.
I was going to say, Momo's a great
host. I figured
host.
As much.
Like, I've been
Laura
to her house and like, dude, the setup is legit.
I had like a bit, I did a little more work for that. We actually like rented some tables and chairs
for that.
I know,
but like still, like it was a good setup.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah, I went and got Portos that day.
Dude, her Portos game was on point.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to Porto. Like, this was like a baby. So I wasn't going to do a big baby shower for baby number two because people, like, they already got you everything for baby number one. And I had another boy. So it's like, I already have all the boy
stuff.
And it's like the same stuff. And you also don't want to hit people. But then I was like, let's celebrate him too. So I kind of did a last minute invite and like, hey, let's do another baby sprinkle. And I just invited people. And it was like, Laura came, Lindsay was going to come, but she was like, maybe like she had a sniffle or something and didn't want to, right?
That was back when we were all like, oh no, it might be COVID.
Right. And like people were going to, you know, so that was respectful. But it was fun to like have people over and do stuff. But I mostly do everything outdoors because it's also really hot there. But you just hop in the pool.
So the real important thing here is that you now also wield a certain amount of influence over the hot moms of Room 5.
Right.
So now if somebody's got a little thing, you can say, you know what? Big Momo stepping in. We're not doing that.
Right.
Okay. We're doing something else. You can sort of run the game plan for everything that happens, because I know you've mentioned this before. You guys have a lot of stuff you have to coordinate on a regular basis between
all the
parents.
Time.
What's the main topic of discussion on the group chat?
Is it
always the kids, or do you guys talk about
other
stuff?
I think the group chat really gets hopping when there's breaks in school.
Okay,
and so then we get like lots of texts that are saying, "Hey, what playground are you going to?"
Right.
And it's always like 20 minutes before the kid's about to go, and they're like, "Hey, Cooper's going to go to this park. Anyone want to join?" And we're like, "I'm in the middle of stuff," but maybe like one kid will show up.
Right. Right.
Hey, like, you know, Ethan is going to go. I don't want to use real names, so I'm just making up names.
I get it.
Right? Like, and then people show up. But then, and it kind of dies down a little bit during the actual school year. But the people say, do you have recommendations on a dentist for a kid dentist? Do you have recommendations on pediatrician?
So it's like
that.
Above board. You're not just talking trash about the teachers and stuff. Very disappointing.
Oh, you know
what? I wanted to know. I was hoping that you guys were really just talking smack about each other.
There was one that I was. This was with the Room 3 kids. Okay. So the Room 3 text. So I'm on two text chains. One's Room 5, one's Room 3.
Because of two kids?
Yeah. No, it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Tuesday,
Got
Thursday.
Got it. Okay.
So the Room 3 text chain, at one point, somebody said, to the parents who were talking about my son yesterday outside the school, can you message me separately?
Oh.
And we were like, what?
Off chat.
We were like, what? What were they saying about your son? Like,
what did they say? Did you find out?
I don't know, but I assume it wasn't
good.
Well,
now you're Big Momo. You need to find out.
Right?
You
like,
got
I assume,
sources.
I'm like, yeah, no one's going to respond to that.
You need to let
like,
people
even
know.
Even if they were talking smack about somebody's kid, like that's kind of bad. First of all, who talks smack about a four-year-old, right?
Wow.
Because the Room 3 is a four-year-old. They were like talking smack about a four-year-old and like, who's going to cop to that and be like, oh, yeah, that was me.
How bad does a four-year-old have to be for you to talk smack about him?
Like, outside the school.
That's great, though.
Yeah.
I love the idea of parents sniping at each other.
Yeah.
The drama.
That makes me laugh quite
there was another. There was another text that was like, hey, can someone sign my kid out? The younger kid just fell asleep in the car, and I don't want to wake him up, and I can't leave him in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, three moms were like, yeah, we'll sign him out.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the kind of drama you got to
do. Yeah, drama.
Now that you had such a great, successful little day camp, do you think that the other moms are going to be like, oh, we got like one upper, and they're going to have like a clown or like some balloon animals or something there?
So here's the truth. No one will ever come close to Ella B's birthday party. Ella B had a birthday party when she turned three.
Man.
And there were like dollhouses to paint. There were like individual stations for each kid to go to. And I was like, well,
And then Ariana Grande showed up. Yeah, it really was.
Oh, hey, Blippi showed up at this other kid's party.
Really?
Blippi.
That's a big deal.
Like a real Blippi impersonator.
Wow.
Yeah, impersonator. Okay. Okay. Like a real guy dressed up, like a real adult human dressed up as Blippi.
When's the last time y'all went to a, what's it called?
Kids party?
Kids party, yeah. Because the game has changed, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Well, I kind of threw a mini one for my nephew when he turned 11 in Disney World. And I made him think that Mickey Mouse himself stopped by the hotel and brought him a birthday card and balloons and a Baby Yoda cake. So he thought that was cool because he thinks they're like close personal friends now.
Right. Okay. So you're just brainwashing the youth.
I think like play date, it's different than birthday party.
You know,
it's a good
like birthday party, you got to give out favors, you got to bring a gift.
Yeah.
Like play date is just like show up and hopefully everybody comes out without like scrapes and bruises and bee stings and stuff.
That's good though.
Depends on the mom though, right? Because like my sister has gone to play dates and they go all out. And I'm like,
That's a little much. I mean, I'm like a working mom. Like, I just show up, supervise your own child.
That's a smart move. Yeah. So everything was
successful.
Jump
in the pool.
Everything was successful.
I did turn on some music.
Okay, what did we play for the 4-year-old?
Harry Belafonte. And Encanto.
That's great.
We had Encanto. We had a lot of Encanto. Encanto, right?
By the way, speaking of kids, while we're on the topic, before I forget, can I give a little shout out, even though he
won't
hear? I found out today via the cutest little video text ever from my brother that him and his wife are having a baby. So it's their first baby.
Congrats.
Excited to be an aunt again. I hope they have a girl because I only have nephews, you know, but I love the boys just as much. But I'm so pumped.
Are you allowed to say this publicly? I wasn't sure about that.
What?
I wasn't sure when you sent me that announcement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
oh, okay.
So he sent me and my sisters a video of how they told her parents. They were at their house having dinner, and like she was like, "Oh, mom, go check what's in the oven." And like she did the whole thing where like she opened the oven and there was like a little bun. She's like, "What is it?" And she's like, "It's a bun." She's like, "Why do you have a bun in the oven?" Oh, I get it.
I had to watch it twice.
It was adorable.
I had to watch it twice. I was like, "What?" I didn't get it. It went right over my head at first, and then I was like, "Oh, that was a good one."
So I'm so excited.
I like the pregnancy announcements. Those are good.
You mean like the ones on the internet where people blow things up in their backyard?
No, not that one.
My friend
one time did one where he had a can of spaghetti sauce, like the Prego spaghetti sauce. That was a good one.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. I like that. Like Prego.
It took me a minute.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's cute. Prego
and then there was another one like vanilla
Italian?
Ice. It was like ice. They were like, what comes next? And they had like ice cube. And then people figured out ice baby.
Got it. Okay.
I was like, oh, that was good. It took me like 3 times to get it, though. I wasn't that.
Prego means you're welcome in Italian. That's what it means.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Prego. Yeah.
Hey, coming up next.
What do we got?
We're going to talk some sports.
Are we going to talk about the Lakers movies?
Yes. The new Lakers documentary.
I took notes and everything.
The first two episodes dropped yesterday on Hulu. There's 8 more to go. Momo, in for Zidane on Cap, ESPN LA.
Let's go.
Hey, congratulations, Lindsay's brother.
He'd be like, thanks. Remember when he was on Mason in Ireland and he was like, thanks, she's a nice lady.
Should I be like old school FM DJ? This one's going out to all the parents.
Yeah.
New babies coming into the world.
You
it's
too,
make
Momo.
The world a better place.
Good job.
Is that good? Like
that was well
old
done.
School FM DJ?
I mean, yeah, the old school way is you talk up the record like right until you hit the post. That's harder to do, but
yours was kind of like Delilah style.
Yeah, yes,
I loved
right.
Delilah.
Delilah, by the way, who gives relationship advice, and she's 3 times divorced with 3 kids. You know that, right? So we all love Delilah because she gives.
Hey, listen,
I'm saying she gives her time to everybody to have a nice life. Like,
which
kind
of brings us to our topic of this this segment, which is reality, is the real story better than the fictionalized story or the scripted, the Hollywoodized version of the story?
Okay, so the reason you're bringing this up is because I watched Lakers Legacy, which dropped on Hulu.
Did you feel like this was your homework?
A little bit, but I also wanted to be able to talk about it. And I was just kind of interested in it. There's nothing going on. Schedule talk, we'll get to later, but like...
Hey, we can make a whole TV show out of that.
I know, but I'm saying that, like, that's true. But I'm saying that, like, I was like, all right, this is the middle of the week, I'll watch it. And so a couple of the notes I wrote down. Number one is that the intro is a really weird, cool derivative of the Dr. Dre, Tupac, California Love song. Like, that was an extremely creative take on the opening of the show. I loved that off the rip. Now, the thing that was interesting about it to me was how many people sat for it.
Everyone.
But I don't know. Like, I'm wondering how this is going to develop over the course of the series, Momo. Because in the first episode, Jamal Wilkes, Kareem, Norm Nixon, Jerry West, like they were all, they all talked.
Yeah.
Like straight up. Like yeah. It wasn't as if there was some sort of like, oh, we got him, you know, doing some other clandestine interview that yeah. we used for this. Everybody sat, including Magic. And basically, I said this before, it's the Lakers 101.
Yeah.
But it's super newsy, you know? And so if you're really looking to sort of find threads and look for very specific memories or even teach somebody yeah. about the Lakers, you're going to learn a lot. And what you get on top of that is you get real images. Uh-huh. Now, I mentioned before that the Magic Johnson doc, that was kind of the appeal for me. I was like, oh, right. You don't need to stylize what these people look like because this was the 80s and this yeah. was the Lakers. These people were stylish enough on their own. So when you see the real footage, it's quite good. There's an element of that
yeah.
to this that I really kind of enjoyed because these were not images that were burning in my brain. I'm only 41 years old and I'm not from LA. So if you're a young Lakers fan, you're going to get to see things that you might know of,
mm-hmm.
but you might have read about, but not necessarily looked at kind of in real time. And so that first episode is pretty much all about the buses. And, you know, I was reading from the Sedano and Cap community. I was trying to explain this during Crosstalk, but like the Dr. Bus stuff feels a little cringy now. And it's a little tough to kind of watch it because, you know, Magic kind of says openly, oh yeah, you know, the doctor was my guy and he's the first guy that took me to the Playboy Mansion and all this stuff. And, you know, sort of what we know now versus what we know then
yep.
is a little difficult to process as something to kind of laugh at. And I don't think we're laughing at it, but it is thorough. And I didn't realize it was going to be 10 episodes or whatever it is. We're going to learn a lot. And I'm wondering who the Lakers think this audience is for.
So or this I want to pull back the curtain a little yeah. on, because context matters. This documentary has been in process for 10 years, almost 10 years.
Right.
It was Jeannie Buss decided after her father died in 2013 that she needed to do the history of the Lakers. And okay. she needed to, like, this was part of how, like, some people do a book.
Right.
Now the new thing is to do a docuseries. So this has been in process for 9 years. I think it was in process even before the book that Winning Time is based on was written by Jeff Perlman.
Gotcha.
This has been in process for a long time. It's gone through several different networks and directors and all these and different iterations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a typical Hollywood story of something that takes 9 years to come out.
Right.
Right. And that's why I think it's interesting that Winning Time came out first. Like, if this would have come out first, I think the reception to it would have been different because in episode one, at least, you get a lot of the same backstory that you got in this season of Winning Time, which was Jerry West resigns as coach. They draft Magic Johnson at the same year. Who they're going to hire, the Jerry Tarkanian thing happens, right, where they go after Jerry Tarkanian, and then his agent was killed in what
yeah.
looks like a mob hit, right? Jerry Tarkanian backs away from the job, and they end up with Jack McKinney. Like, that was the plot to season one of Winning Time, or yep. at least the first three or four episodes of that. Now, had this come out before Winning Time, you'd be like, whoa, I didn't know all that.
Right. I think, yeah, you're right. There's an element that's yeah. lost there for sure.
Yeah, and I think also the order matters. And I think, like I know some people are like, oh, this is so much boring. This is boring compared to Winning Time. Well, that's the difference between real documentary and scripted and Hollywoodized. And this is, like, there's an actual coin flip where you see Bill Sharman flipping the coin
yep.
where they get Magic Johnson. And then Jeannie Buss comes in over the top and says, if we didn't win that coin flip, we'd get David Greenwood.
And they show the picture of David Greenwood
yeah.
who looks like any other brother that got randomly selected.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Who's kind of a non-guy now. It's... I think that I do think you're right, Momo. I think it suffers from timing, but I also think Winning Time is pretty good.
It is pretty good.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? And
it's
so
entertaining.
Like, it's very entertaining, and I don't know that I'm not more interested in this because Winning Time came out first. You see what I'm saying? As
yeah.
somebody that wasn't raised a Lakers fan, like this
Fair.
Is like, okay,
yeah.
Let me read the bibliography now
yeah.
or let me read the book
yeah.
versus having seen
That's
the
right.
movie. There's an element of that to this that I think for me was interesting.
This is more book and Winning Time's more movie.
By a lot.
And I will say, I think that it's going to, the first two episodes are going to feel like that, but then it's going to move on into Shaq and Kobe.
Okay.
And then it's going to move on into Jim and Jeannie. And then it's going to move on into LeBron. And it's going to go all the way through the history of the Lakers. And one thing I was talking to somebody who was involved in the production of this the other day, he said, as much as 10 episodes feels like a lot, it's actually not even close to enough to tell the history of the Lakers if you get into all the different eras.
How long was The Last Dance?
Last Dance was 10 episodes.
Was it 10?
10.
It was 10?
So it's 10 episodes if you really think about it, about a team that won 6 titles over the course of 8 years.
I'm concerned about how that's going to work out because it feels like if you're going to do if you're going to get all the way to LeBron,
yeah,
you're going to need more than 10 episodes.
I mean, they definitely go through. I remember, at some point I will be in the process.
Okay, all right.
Because I was interviewed, I sat for like 8 hours of interviews for this.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to be a major character.
Right, but you're, okay, so,
I mean,
okay.
Look, hey, should we have more Ramona Shelburne or more Magic Johnson? I think we're going to use a little more Kareem quotes, yeah, or Magic, right?
Probably,
like,
true.
I don't have that big of an ego,
okay,
or sense
so if
of
we
myself.
Get all the way to LeBron, that's interesting, yeah, and that's where I think they have an advantage over anything Winning Time is going to do, because, well, you can only stylize so, yeah, much, and that's hard to really recreate.
And what you're talking about, where they get into Dr. Buss and his divorce, they get into Dr. Buss and his relationship with women, mm-hmm, you can see the seeds being planted. There was a quote from somebody in the episode one where they say Jerry Buss set this all up for his kids to run the kingdom. Mm-hmm. All they had to do was execute his plan, but they didn't want to do that.
Right.
Like, you can see this is the central drama of the series, which is going to play out over the next couple of months here. And I think that's coming, because I know what I was asked about, and you could tell if you watched the first two episodes, Jim Buss sat for a lot of interviews.
Oh,
we have,
yeah,
not heard from Jim Buss,
oh, yeah,
since the palace coup.
That's the thing, is that you get a lot of real, actual talk. And, yep, I wasn't, this is kind of a weird example, but there's, yeah, a documentary on the Disney Plus about ILM, which made Star Wars, and like it's a similar kind of thing where you're like, George Lucas sat for a lot of interviews, yeah, during the making of Star Wars. I did not know that there was this much bus footage just hanging around the vault.
Yeah.
That was a revelation to me, not in terms of specific information, but just seeing him kind of,
yeah,
move regularly. There's a lot of footage of him on the sidelines at USC,
yeah,
which was pretty cool. To me, this is an exercise in archival footage. That was the most attractive thing about all this. I was like, oh, look at that. That guy's just moving around. Like, he is on, you know what I mean? As, yeah, opposed to people you normally see in stills, or people you've normally only seen in, you know, redramatizations or whatever. It was cool to see the actual footage, but I think it's going to, man.
How do you compare the real Jerry Buss to the John C. Reilly Jerry Buss?
So the John C. Reilly Jerry Buss is funny, but he's also kind of playing a John C. Reilly character.
Yeah, yeah.
John C. Reilly's almost gotten to that point where, yeah, he kind of plays himself. I think the real Jerry Buss was, for lack of a better term, a far, I hate to say this, just a far cooler dude. Mm-hmm. Like, he comes across as extremely cartoonish, I think,
in Winning Time,
but when you see him talk and you see him interact, you kind of think, all right, like, I can buy that. I can see why this dude was very attractive to a lot of people for a lot of reasons, whereas in Winning Time, he comes across as extremely bombastic and over the top in a way that kind of felt bullyish, rather than, at least, you could understand the slick side of him from what we saw in Lakers Legacy, for sure.
You know, it's there's people who go through life who are real life cartoon characters in life.
Yes.
Okay. So I was hosting NBA Today last week with The Miz.
Oh,
he was in
that
town.
That guy went to the same college I did.
Really?
Yes. He went to Miami of Ohio. He was there like a year before I got
did not
there.
Know you went to Miami of Ohio.
I did. I covered Ben Roethlisberger. That's how I got into this business.
Wow.
Yeah. Facts. But yeah, All right. Miz. I'm well familiar with The Miz's work from Real World.
So wait, on. Miami of Ohio is actually Miami,
yeah,
in Ohio. It's the name, yes, of the town?
No, that's the name of the area. Miami is a Native American tribe name. It was named that long before anything in Florida.
How do you pronounce it?
Miami.
It's pronounced Miami, not Miami,
the story that's on every T-shirt is Miami was a university when Florida was still owned by Spain, which is a fact.
Oh.
Yes.
Look at these things,
yeah,
that I did not know.
Now you learn. Anyway, The Miz.
Yeah. So The Miz, like, comes onto the set, and it's always fun when the cameras are on. The Miz is The Miz.
Yes.
And then in the commercial breaks, he's...
Mike.
Yeah. And then there's, like, Ms. and Mrs.
Yes.
And it's interesting that there's people who
was
walk
Was she
around.
There, too?
No, she wasn't there.
Okay.
But I actually know Mike because I've done a couple shows with him, and he's, like, a really nice guy that you...
Yeah.
Like, off air, he's just Mike.
Cleveland dude, right?
Cleveland dude.
Yeah.
From
Parma.
Cleveland. From
Parma.
Cleveland.
Exactly, yeah.
And he... and it's like, when he goes on air, it's like the red light comes on.
And he knows how to play.
And it's awesome. And I'm like, Mike... Oh, I'm sorry, Miz.
Yeah, my bad.
Miz. And I'm like sitting on air, and Jeff Passan sees that I tweeted a picture of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get up because he's up. Like, he came on the show, and I was like, okay, here we go. Let's go.
Right.
And Matt Barnes, who is like a very chill kind of guy. Like,
oh, yeah.
Matt Barnes is like always
up in smoke.
All
you
the
know,
smoke.
Right. All the smoke. Excuse
like,
me.
Like, yeah, you got to get the name right.
Pardon
okay?
me.
So you're going to listen to the Showtime pod. Matt Barnes is on set with me, and he's just always looks
I
like
love
he came
Matt,
from all
by
this.
The way.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's great.
And so Matt's on the show with me, and then we had Bobby Marks and Tim Bontemps. And very good bit of producing by my producers saying, hey, Bobby and Tim, you're not in the segment with Miz. I think you guys sit this one out. Ramona, Matt, you guys handle this, right? Okay.
Listen, I love Good Times. Bontemps is one of my best friends on earth, literally.
Jimmy Bontemps.
That
yeah.
is hilarious. I have a story about that because he was here. When he was here,
yeah.
we went on a field trip. I'll tell you about that.
Jimmy Bontemps, one of our senior NBA writers.
Yes, the best.
And also, people who don't get the Good Times thing, Bontemps in French.
It means
good times
in French.
Yeah,
good times!
Hey!
Great guy.
Yeah. So he was on. Bobby Marks sat that one out. Miz comes on, red light, and I go, Miz, I thought at some point over the course of the last decade that you've been in the public eye, you would have to get a new catchphrase.
Right.
Like, how many times can you say awesome and it not jump the shark? And he goes, I can say it 50 different times in a row differently. I was like, go.
Wow, he's worked on it?
Right? Think about it. Awesome.
50?
Awesome.
I don't need 50 awesomes, Momo.
I mean, but he really just started doing it on wow. air. And I was like, how do you just live your life like this?
I couldn't do that. So let me ask you, was Buss like that?
Jerry Buss, I think it was all context. Like, I think yeah. when he was in the Forum Club and when he was on, when he was Jerry Buss and he was on, that's who he was. Right?
Okay.
But the John C. Reilly version of Jerry Buss is the Hollywood version of the Hollywood version is a compilation of everything that the writers have read and the producers have read about a certain person, all rolled into one.
And turned up to
level 10.
That's what I was going to say. All rolled up into one and all happening at the same yeah. kind of time.
That's right.
Yeah. He did come across as a little bit more human, at least when you looked at him and heard him yeah. talk. But the way you heard other people talk about him, I was like, oof. Man, this doesn't go over as well as I think it might have gone over even 5 years ago in terms of where we are in America and the yeah. world and understanding, like, this is how a lot of people did business. But these days, it's a little tough to look at.
Hey, Linz, I got a question for you.
Sure.
How brave do you feel today? How brave do you feel with the public? You feeling like if I ask for calls on a certain question, you feel like you want to field a bunch of calls?
As long as it's not like a typical like John Ireland serious controversial topic, let's go for it.
You really need to produce this segment if I'm going to do this because okay, I've done this
do
on
it.
Air before and
let's
it and it. It and it really can be bad if you don't have a good producer. Today is National Joke Day, National Tell a Joke Day.
Oh, you're going to do this to me, huh?
I know. I am. I asked it and you put it in the rundown and we're going to do it. If you have any good jokes. And keep in mind, you will be live on the radio, and you got to make us laugh. Okay, 877-710-ESPN. Momo and Clinton Yates in for Sedano and Cap, ESPN LA.
Sedano and Cap, Yates and Momo. By the way, come yeah. on by the Homebound Brewhouse at Union Station on Wednesday, August 24th for the Sedano and Cap live broadcast from 4 to 7 p.m. Your boy, the Big CY, is going to be there as well. Enjoy some food and drink specials before you watch the boys in blue. Plus, you'll have a chance to win some ESPN LA swag, including the Wild Ding t-shirts. And that's Wednesday, August 24th at Union Station in downtown LA. Union Station, where Los Angeles begins, Momo.
Well, no, this song would be on the Momo playlist anyway. But
okay.
happy, wait, I got to brace myself as I say this. Happy birthday, happy 64th birthday to Madonna.
She's 64
years old, Madonna. Is that real?
She looks great.
She looks amazing.
She keeps pulling 64? These young dudes.
64.
I haven't seen Madonna recently. So.
Madonna Louise Ciccone, right?
Does she still talk with a British accent? Is that something that still happens?
Sometimes,
sometimes.
I think so.
She slips into it.
Well, she was married to Guy Ritchie. She did that.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's okay, right. That's where we bring her
also, didn't
past.
Know this. In 1985, she married actor Sean Penn on this day, which means she got married on her birthday.
Weird.
Oh. That's interesting.
That's weird. That means they
that's
were probably,
weird.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
The pixie dust.
Their feet were not on the ground. Yeah.
All the pixie dust.
Yeah. She married Sean. Then the next year, she had Papa Don't Preach as a number one hit.
Yeah, you get married on your birthday to Sean Penn. You were doing something. You're doing a lot the night before, let's just
say.
Hey,
Sean Penn found, who did he find? The drug lord? Who did he find?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
like,
that.
Like, what a life. Yeah. I want to see his documentary.
His, yeah, Winning Time with Sean Penn. I'm sure that's going to be quite interesting when that comes out.
Oh,
that
my
dude,
gosh.
He's
right?
lived a whole life.
Lindsay, do I even want right. to ask about these jokes? Are any of these funny? No, she's on the phone.
So
there's a couple that are funny. Nothing that's like, you know.
It's National Joke Day, right?
I'm trusting Lindsay to pick the good ones, okay? What are we going to give the people who have the best joke?
I don't know.
Listen, they're not good enough that warrant a prize, in my opinion.
Okay.
They're good enough to, like, that might give you a chuckle.
What was the segment you were telling me about?
Make Us Laugh. The old Don and Mike show. This is a very, I mean, this was...
You're the king of radio bits.
I know, right? Make Us Laugh was basically they would like cycle through all sorts of calls, and if somebody made them laugh, they'd give them a prize. But if they like at any point in the joke they didn't like it, they would just cut them off.
Oh.
Because they had people calling all over.
That's
the
a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure, and we're not gonna roll through calls that quickly. So get to your joke though.
All right.
There's a lot of calls.
All right, let's just go.
All right.
William in Tujunga.
Let's go.
Let's go.
How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you? You going to make us laugh?
Get to the joke.
I hope so. She said she heard it, but anyway, there's a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead, and they're all hiking in the San Gabriel Mountains.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and all of a sudden they see this big bear, and it starts chasing them, and they're running, and they come to this cliff, and there's nowhere to go, and they're sitting there crying, and they're saying, oh, God, help us, help us. And God tells them, just run off and jump. Off the cliff, just think of something that can fly before you jump.
Okay.
So the redhead, she runs and jumps off, and she says, butterfly. And she just floats away. The brunette, she runs, she jumps, and she says, eagle. And she flies away. Now with the blonde, she starts running, and she tripped over this rock, and she says, oh, crap.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
This is where we're starting off. Thank you for the phone call.
All right.
Nobody laughed. Let's just say nobody laughed.
I gave it an okay.
All right. That was okay.
That was the worst of all.
Okay,
of them,
I was going to say.
Why did you put him in number one? Tell me
also,
who
I just put him up there.
I feel like we should maybe, this is going to sound discriminatory, but maybe you should tell us how old you are before you tell these jokes.
Right. Okay, Linz, you choose the next one. Who's next?
Okay, let's see. We'll just go to John in Oxnard.
All right, National Tell-A-Joke Day. Let's go, John.
Yes, am I on?
You're on.
You're on, buddy.
Make us laugh.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Yeah, you know how you tell a dog's man's best friend?
How?
How's that?
You lock your dog and your girlfriend in the trunk of your car, come back in about an hour and a half. Who's happy to see you?
Oh, okay.
Come on, dude. What are we doing here?
Okay.
All right, thank you for that. That wasn't funny.
Linz, that was the one you picked.
That did not make me laugh.
I don't remember. I just, put them all up there.
Okay, next, you choose this one now.
All right, I can't even see the calling board.
All right, you want Mario or Sedwick?
Let's do Mario.
All right, Mario.
Yeah, this works for like Ramona's kids, but what do you call a monster that dances?
What?
The boogeyman.
Okay.
Bro, I like that one. It's cute.
It's okay, that's cute. Daniel might laugh.
Mario.
Oh, I don't know.
This is not going well.
That's also like the one where it's like, how do you make a tissue dance? You put a little boogie in it.
How do you know those jokes?
You know what? You guys need to be a willing audience. Let's give it one more.
All the jokes I know are
Sedwick in L.A.
Dirty.
Sedwick in L.A. You're on with
my
Momo
and Clinton. My jokes are hella dirty.
Right.
Sedwick.
Sedwick, you're on the air.
You ready?
Sedwick
joke.
In
Let's
L.A.
Go. I think that's his joke.
I think we're bombing.
Wow.
I think
this is terrible.
Like our
All right,
set.
See you later, Sedwick.
All right, National Tell-A-Joke Day. That's what it is. We'll do better
you
next
know, we
time.
We would have been better off playing some of Giannis's dad jokes.
I mean,
yeah, we would have.
See, this is why. This is a thing that is very unpopular with me about my friends.
Uh-huh.
I don't really love stand-up comedy in person for this reason.
Yeah.
Because I hate looking people in the face when I don't want to laugh. You know what I'm saying? And like, I don't like forced laughs. You know what I'm saying,
yeah,
Laura?
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, I'm like, I'm not gonna. Sorry, buddy. Like I know.
So the
a lot
whole
of
thing is context,
comics.
Right?
Yes.
The whole thing is context. If you are in a comedy club, you're there because you want to laugh,
right?
So the trick for the comedian is to make people want to help you. People want to like you. People
yes.
want to help you out. They want to laugh. So I'm more of the willing audience. I was like, okay. Okay, it takes a lot of guts to call up the radio show and tell your dumb
crappy
joke on air.
Joke, yeah.
Yeah, okay, you got to have some guts. You know, that was not bad. Way to go.
But I don't, you're going to very rarely see me, even people I know.
Yeah.
Like over the years, I've known a lot of people who are comedians. I'm like, listen, we're either going to be friends or I'll go see you perform. We're not doing both. Because then I have to talk to you about the performance, and then I don't want to talk to you about the performance because if I don't like it, then we can't be friends. You see what I'm saying?
You got to do that though. Like you have to critique the performance.
If I don't think it's funny, yes. If you invite me to something and it's not good, I'm going to tell you it's not good.
I'm that friend.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that's
and that's why it's difficult for me. So,
it's like,
it's
what
tough.
Do you think?
Right, you don't want to have to pull off one of those. You know
so
what I'm
saying? So I've been obviously at the preschool pool party at my house where I was like, good job.
Yeah.
Good job. Way to go.
Do you have a comedy routine for the preschool set?
No, I don't try to tell any jokes. Like, I'm not funny.
I feel like that could be a reasonably lucrative market for like a certain type of person.
Yeah.
You tell jokes to kids and their.
His name is Blippi. He's like a multimillionaire. Like Blippi has more money than any of us. Blippi
really?
Is probably going to be like an NBA owner one day.
Really?
Like he probably buy a sports franchise.
The Blippis?
I mean, he's so rich. The people who own the Coco Melon YouTube station.
Yeah, the guy the Blippi guy, I'm pretty sure he's like either number one or number two in top YouTube earners over the past like 5 years in a row.
Wow. Okay. I've never even seen Blippi. Oh, I know who Blippi is.
Oh, you know who Blippi
I've
is.
I've seen Blippi. Okay, that's Blippi.
Pretty sure he has like a toy line and everything.
That's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we should kill the jokes for the moment.
Okay, yeah, we're done with the jokes.
Maybe next hour.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, maybe next hour.
I almost laughed at the kid joke.
There was no point
when
I almost laughed.
Yeah, okay. No. Let's get back to the Laker doc.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks. Laker doc.
You want to talk about that next?
Yeah, okay. Momo, CY, in for Cazadano Cap, ESPN LA.